morning. Now, I recognise a lot of people in the congregation. I can't necessarily put a name to your faces. I've seen you in Youth Club and the club at Duncan Road. So, if you do recognise me, come up to me afterwards and say, Mr. F, I'm so-and-so, okay? On behalf of Sarah, Olivia and the family, may I say thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you too for your cards of sympathy and prayers. For many of us here this morning, and me included, being at a funeral of someone so young is something we have not experienced before. There may be some who know exactly what Sarah and her family are feeling. And perhaps you have gone through similar heartache and pain. And being here today has brought it all back again. Well, our prayers are with you as well this morning. Maybe there are some who are asking the question, why? Why should an innocent baby die so young? Perhaps some are angry with God. If God is a God of love, why does he allow this to happen? Well, I can't answer the question why. But I do take comfort in the fact that God is sovereign and he does see the bigger picture. He is in control and I must be content with that. If God, who made the universe, who keeps the planets in space, who knows exactly the numbers of the hairs on my head, and they do vary from day to day, who is aware of the tiny sparrow that dies, then God knows best. The verse on the front of our order of service is very poignant. It says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That means that God knows every day that we shall live, even before we're born. Let's pray, shall we? Almighty God, a very present help in time of trouble, you have given us the Lord Jesus Christ, one who understands our human weakness and sorrow. We ask that as we draw near in your presence, that you may draw near to us. Heavenly Father, you have not made us for darkness and death, but for life with you forever. Without you, we have nothing to hope for. With you, we have nothing to fear. Speak to us now your words of eternal life. Lift us from anxiety and guilt to the light and peace of your presence, and set the glory of a love before us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're now going to sing the first hymn on the sheet, All Things Bright and Beautiful. you. You may be seated. Catherine Jessop is now going to sing us a solo, and it's entitled "Wherever You Will Go." Thank you. Tributes. I believe Sarah and her sisters are going to come and read a poem, and then after that Mrs. F or Maureen Fielder is going to come and read a poem. So Sarah and her sisters.
You never said I'm leaving, you never said goodbye. You were gone before I knew it, and it only got you why. A million times I needed you, a million times I cried. If love alone could have saved you, you would have never died. In life I loved you dearly, in death I love you still. In my heart you hold a place that no one could ever fill. It breaks my heart to lose you, but you didn't go alone. From part of us, when we take our ticket home. If love alone could have saved you, Isabel, you would have never died.
Hello, Goodbye was written in memory of baby Noah, who lived for just 2.5 days. Hello, Goodbye. Where's the navigator of your destiny? Where is the dealer of this hand? Who can explain life and its brevity? Because there's nothing here that I can understand. You and I have barely met, and I just don't want to let go of you yet. Noah, hello, goodbye. I'll see you on the other side. Noah, sweet child of mine, I'll see you on the other side. And so, I hold your tiny hand in mine for the hardest thing I've ever had to face. Heaven calls for you before it calls for me. When you get there, save me a place where I can share your smile. And I can hold you for more than just a while. Noah, hello, goodbye. I'll see you on the other side.
Thank you for those poems. We're going to stand and sing the second song on the sheet. Now, you sung the first one very well. You might not know this one. You know where it's come from. It's come from Psalm 23, but it's got a lovely tune, and you might hear one or two people singing a descant. You see if you can join in, all right?
Thank you.
be seated. And then Penny is going to come and do the reading for us. Thank you.
This is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, and it's just a few verses. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Oh, don't cry." Then he went up and he touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. And they were filled with awe, and they praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people."
Thank you, Penny. We're going to sing a chorus now, perhaps one that Sarah and her sisters and perhaps some of you here have sung at Youth Club. "I'm special because God has loved me, for he gave the best thing that he had to save me, his own son Jesus, crucified to take the blame for all the bad things I have done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me so much." Let's stand to sing, shall we? I'm not going to speak for very long, but I do hope that what I have to say will be a comfort to Sarah, to her sisters, and to her mother and father. It's at times like this when the Bible becomes real, and God becomes real. The Bible reading that Penny read ended with these words: God has come to help his people. It was certainly the case with the woman in the story. She too was on her way to bury her son, her only son. She was a widow. She had already suffered the loss of her husband. And she was beside herself with grief, and she was crying. But unexpectedly, she met with Jesus. And you know, that encounter made all the difference to her desperate situation. And you know, when we have an encounter with Jesus Christ, he does make all the difference in our life. And I want to emphasize that the Lord Jesus Christ is here too this morning. And he has come to help his people in their need. The psalmist could say, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. We see in the story there's a large crowd following Jesus. There's lots of chatter and activity. There is a feeling of expectancy and celebration in the air. Where is he going? What's he going to do next? You see, many in the crowd have already experienced firsthand the healing touch of Jesus. Blind eyes have been opened, crippled legs made to walk, guilty consciences forgiven. This man seems to be worth following. He's going places. And as we lift our eyes towards the town, we see another crowd. There's no hustle and bustle here. They're making their way slowly to the cemetery. There's no sound of laughter and joy, just the sound of crying and deep lament. You know, there's a saying which says, in the midst of life, we are in the midst of death. Up and down the country, we have been celebrating the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. People have partied and had fun. And yet, here we are this morning, sad and heartbroken, as we mourn the loss of Isabel Haley Grace, who lived just 7 days. It's true. Life is all about living and dying. Can Jesus help us? Most certainly, yes, he can. You've got the picture of those two crowds. The crowd coming out of the town following the coffin. You've got the other crowd that are following Jesus. And all of a sudden, the two crowds come face to face. Life was confronted with the reality of death. And all that could be heard was the sobbing and the crying of a woman who had lost her son. And our reading says this: when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. Yes, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. You see, the Lord looked into those red, sobbing eyes of that grief-stricken woman, and he saw the heartache and the pain she was going through. In other words, he put his feet in her shoes and felt what she was going through. And yes, his heart went out to her. To Sarah and to the family and to the friends here, Jesus not only sees the tears and the distress. His heart goes out to you. He sees. He has compassion. Compassion means to be churned up inside with feeling, but it also brings that desire to help, to bring comfort. And the Lord says, cast all your care upon me, because I do care for you. I am concerned. I can help. Not only does Jesus see, not only does his heart go out to her, but he speaks to her and says, don't cry. And to the dead boy, get up. What a strange thing to say at a funeral. Don't cry. Is Jesus saying that we shouldn't cry at funerals? Certainly not. The psalmist reassures us that when we cry, God himself will keep note of our tears. God has a record, yes, of every tear that you have shed, God knows about. Jesus himself wept bitterly at the graveside of his dear friend Lazarus. St. Luke records those two words, Jesus wept. He wept when he saw where they had buried him. But Jesus is saying to this grieving woman, don't cry. I remember when I was at the school, just up the road here, St. John's Junior School. As soon as lessons were finished and the bell had sounded, I would rush home and change into my old clothes and go out in the dusty yard and play. I think nowadays the first things kids do is to change into their best clothes and go out with their friends. It wouldn't be long before I would fall over in the dirt and graze my knees, and I would come running into Mum with tears streaming down my face. What was the first thing that Mum said? There, there. Don't cry. And the bit I didn't like, she did insist on kissing it better. But those words seemed to make all the difference. Someone cared for me. Mum knew that the graze was not a major issue. She knew it would soon heal. You see, she brought comfort. And Jesus on that day says to the woman, don't cry. And immediately the woman was comforted. You see, somebody cared. Help was on its way. And then he says something strange. He says to the dead boy, get up. Pardon, you might say, did I hear right? Jesus is talking to a dead boy as if he is sleeping, as if he is fast asleep. Yes. You see, death is not the end. The Bible says we are made in the image of God. That means we have feelings, we have intellect, we have the ability to make choices. We are master of our own destiny. Yes, we are eternal beings. There is life after death. We live forever. That's why Jesus said to the boy, get up. Jesus was demonstrating to the people around, death was not the end. Did you know the day that Isabel Hayley Grace died in hospital? The angels carried her to heaven. She is with Jesus in paradise, in heaven. Now, isn't that a comfort to know? The prophet Isaiah says this, the godly die before their time, and no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to realize that God is taking them away from evil days ahead. For the godly who die shall rest in peace. You see, baby Isabel never had the ability or the opportunity to make choices of her own. Our all-knowing Heavenly Father, in his mercy and in his love, took her to himself. She is in heaven. Now the question is, if we want to see our Heavenly Father, if we want to see Isabel Hayley Grace again, if we want to go to heaven, we have to find the way. We need to find the door. You know, Jesus was talking about going back to heaven. And one of the disciples, Thomas, said to him, "Jesus, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus said that well-known verse, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then Jesus went on to say, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Let me finish by reading the old hymn, "There is a green hill far away." And I believe it says it all. "There is a green hill far away, without a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. We may not know, we cannot tell, what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us he hung and suffered there. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in." You see, the Lord is the way. He is the door. By him we enter. Oh, dearly, dearly has he loved. And we must love him too, and trust, and that's the key verse, key word, and trust in his redeeming blood, and try his works to do. Our reading said, God has come to help his people. Yes, even though hearts are grieving, even though we are mourning, God is touched. God has come to help his people. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. I'm sure our hearts and our emotions go out to Sarah and to the family. But here we have a tremendous comfort. The Lord sees, and the Lord's heart went out to her. Let's bow our heads and our hearts. On the sheet you'll see the Lord's Prayer. Perhaps we can all say that together as our token of appreciation to the Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our service is nearly over. We are now going to the cemetery at Holly Hill, and family and friends are welcome to join with us. After that, we're going to the Workmen's Club, the Loxheath Working Men's Club in Duncan Road for refreshments, and again, you are invited to that. And one final thing, you'll see it on the sheet, donations in memory of Isabel Hayley Grace Jelly are for the Princess Anne Neonatal Unit. And any money that you want to give can be placed in the basket at the back, and that money will be passed on. Our thanks to our musicians, to our soloist Catherine and those who took part. Let's now stand for the closing prayer. O God, the strength of the weak, the comfort of the sorrowful, the friend of the lonely, let not sorrow overwhelm us, nor anguish of heart turn us from you. May we appreciate that the eternal God can be our refuge, and underneath are your everlasting arms. Nay, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father, the comfort of the Holy Spirit be our experience now and until we see our Saviour face to face. Amen. If you like to remain standing, Sarah is going to carry the coffin out and we're going out to the music.
You